is Dates and Mates with your host, Damona Hoffman.
Hello, hello, beautiful people out there. It's time for a little more love in the world. That is why we are bringing to you, straight from Sunset Gower Studios in Hollywood, another episode of Dates and Mates. I'm Damona Hoffman, certified dating and relationship coach, and I'm here in studio with my co-host, Ray Christian, the CEO of the Textbird app. Time to spread the love.
What's up, girl?
A lot is up, as you know. We're not going to get too political on the show, but I think, you know, it's time we love one another. So I think this is the right show for the right time.
It's almost like we don't get political unless it's like extremely relevant. And in this case, probably is.
Probably is. And there's a lot of other relevant news in the dating and relationship space. This week, we're going to talk about the infamous Kardashian curse. We'll also talk about a new dating trend you should keep an eye out for. And we'll discuss how we're bringing Donald Trump into the bedroom. Sounds disgusting to me, but it will be educational and not just gross you out. So stick around for that. And we also have some new Textbird questions, including how to make a move on Instagram. And what do you do with your boyfriend after you've found someone better? Plus, we'll be jumping into the DeLorean and heading back in time for a romance rollback that is perfectly aligned for the Great American Eclipse coming up. Producer Thomas is back from vacation.
I'm back. It's a pleasure to be here.
What's up, High T?
Nothing much. Just ready to rock and roll on air, as always.
Did you miss us?
I did, actually. I was very sad.
Thinking about us, watching us on Facebook and the live stream.
Pining away from my studio chair.
Oh, well, we're reunited.
We're reunited
and it feels
now.
So good. It's time for the dish.
D's dating dish.
The infamous Kardashian curse may be upon us again. This one has nothing to do with the solar eclipse. But you may have heard of this curse of the Kardashians dating professional athletes and then bringing the entire team down with them. So we'll just go through a little walk down Kardashian memory lane. You remember Lamar tanked after dating Khloe. Chris Humphries is... I mean, basically,
washed up.
What is Chris Humphries doing after dating Kim Kardashian? I cannot wait for that tell-all book that, like, whenever the statute of limitations.
I don't think there is one. It's an NDA. It's like ironclad.
I don't know. I think there's going to be a point where the Kardashian secrets will be spilled, and I will be waiting, and I'll be doing this with my fingers like a evil.
One of my friends, by the way, kind of a one friend removed, was an assistant for Khloe. And like, she's had many, so I'm not outing anybody. And like, her head was all messed up after working with Khloe.
Really? Well, that doesn't surprise me. So I don't know what they're doing to these guys, but they're putting their Kardashian hooks into them. And so same, different name, same family now. Kendall Jenner has been seen out with Blake Griffin, and people were a little bit worried, but it's kind of definitely a thing. And so the Clippers fans are very worried about what this means for the Clippers and the NBA if they stay together until the season begins.
And that list doesn't even touch on Kanye, who like literally went to the loony bin while he's been dating Kim, or Scott Disick, like a toiling away alcoholic. And, of course, the infamous, famous Bruce/Caitlyn transformation, which isn't, you know, it's just a strange, odd.
Things are strange in that household.
Development.
Yeah, exactly. So
unique.
Do you think there could be a real curse?
Okay, so I don't think that Kendall and Kyrie, Kardashian stain will be on them. I don't think they'll have that, but it is a curse. But I actually wonder, I think, and I'm curious to get your opinion, I think it's actually a thing of... When you date someone that's like self-aggrandizing and massively self-absorbed, I think it just drags you down. And I think that's a lot of what's happening to these men. And probably happens to women that date men of the same ilk.
You could just never live up to the expectations of that person's grandeur.
Right.
Hmm. That's a good transition into our second story, because there's a dangerous new trend that I have to tell you about. You know, I love these sharing these terms with you, and I want to keep you up to speed on the lingo of love. And there is a a new phenomenon called love bombing. I had never heard of this. Love bombing is a tactic that involves the immediate seduction of a new partner by showering them with affection. Maybe Kendall is doing this right now with Blake. And they say everything that the person wants to hear. They give them total attention as long as they're their number one and they're in that honeymoon phase of the relationship. And then all of a sudden, they become violent or angry. They ghost. They withhold their attention. And then the person that is in the relationship with them is left to feel like, you know, WTF. I get emails about this all the time where people say, I met this person. They were all hot and heavy. And they were throwing love bombs. That's what they're called. You're bombing them with attention. But then they just disappeared and left me in the aftermath. And I'm so confused. I don't know what happened. And so it's actually a phenomenon. It's psychological. Basically, it's a mind F that there are certain people that have become experts at doing. Do you think that online dating has had an effect on love bombing becoming more popular because people can just go back to the pool and find someone new, find the new victim to prey upon?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's changed every aspect of dating because it makes people feel so much more fungible and so much more easily replaced.
Fungible.
But
good. Another word.
This reminds me of something that's analogous to a phenomenon I've seen, which is the concept of like really high status and high class men. They no longer really strive for just sex because sex kind of becomes a commodity. At a certain point when you've got status and you've got your wherewithal about you and your wits about you, sex is just a matter of time no matter what. But the next game, it's like the elevated game, is essentially how fast and how quickly can you get someone to fall in love with you? And it's not for really good purposes. It's a little bit insidious and maybe nefarious purposes where it's like, okay, I got them. Before, earlier iterations of this effed up game are like, oh, let me just see how quick I can have sex with her. Like these men in college and early 20s. Then later it's like, how quickly can I get her whole soul wrapped around me? And this is once I have it, I'm done. I'm over it. I conquered it. I'm done. And this reminds me of that a lot, this love bombing concept.
But why are people falling for it? Because I feel like if someone comes on too hot and heavy at the beginning of a relationship, shouldn't that raise a red flag that something is a little bit off? Because really, I've said this on the show before, but I believe in slow love. And if you don't really know a person, how could you love them? Or like, you know, we've gotten expert questions before of like, my boyfriend and I have been dating a month and he wants to plan a trip to Europe with me in 6 months. It's like, you don't even know where you're going to be in 6 months with this relationship. Why are you playing it forward like that?
Yeah, it's almost like if you think of a relationship or even a friendship for that matter, if you think you have a certain path or plan for how things work or how things are healthy for you, how much you should be hanging out, how much you should be having sex, whatever it is, just remember, it's almost like a battle of imposing wills. Can you impose your will on him or her or vice versa? And in this case, if you know slow love is the move, then you have to impose that on them. Even when they're like, vacation to Costa Rica, let's go to Cancun, let's go to Cabo. You have to actually pump the brakes and say, no, that's not how I do things. We knew maybe in 6 months we can take a trip, but this needs to be measured and slow. And if you can impose your will on them, power to you. But if you can't, then they've won you over. And guess what? You've fallen victim to it because you didn't stand by your will.
Exactly. You need to hit them back with some love bombs of your own.
By the way, slow love. I feel like we can make a segment called Slow Love.
It will have to have a musical intro that's very slow and very lovely. One thing that is definitely impacting the slow love in the bedroom is Donald Trump. And very sad, but believe it or not, we're just bringing him on into the bedroom with us. That's so unsexy. What an image. Can you do some sort of a meme on the Techspert Instagram about Donald Trump in the bedroom?
Just like peeking through the slots in the closet.
Oh, it's gross. But let me tell you what we mean by that. because eHarmony came out with some new statistics about how people have actually been changing their dating preferences since the election. And now they're seeing more people are listing their political affiliation when they didn't before. More people are saying, I'm liberal, like I'm not with that. Or they're saying, I'm neutral, I'm not with either side. And it used to be, it was an option to declare it or not. And now people are pretty much all choosing to declare. And it's gone from 47% to 68%. And also, interestingly, 37% of women said they're okay with dating someone of radically different political views, which is not particularly high. But 62% of men said that they're fine with it. So why is it that women are unwilling to reach across the political aisle? I think I already know the answer to this question. But men are just like, eh, whatever. If you're really building a relationship with someone, I believe that politics is that one of those. There's only a few key issues that really can divide a household and a partnership and really can indicate a fundamental difference in how you look at the world. So what's going on here?
I think women, they are more judicious towards that because they're smarter and they're playing the long game. Mm-hmm. Guys, they're like, okay, she's crazy and radical, but what if I just hit the skins tonight and I'm in and out? But I think there's a really wonderful thing about this Donald Trump administration.
Tell me what it is,
and
please.
It's this. Before, with certain, I'm just going to say, on the right and Republican presidents, administrations, they weren't so bad where if you met someone that was like, yeah, I'm for Bush, that you could be like, oh, I'm going to immediately cut that person out. Because you're like, oh, well, is it just like they were raised that way? And maybe there's some redeeming characteristics about this person, even though they do follow Bush, and I'm kind of dubious about them. But with Trump, the best part about this is if you meet anybody that says they're for Trump, you can say, you know what? End the conversation now and get. That's a good thing. You don't have to waste any time with them. You just know it's suss them out faster. The weirdos, the radicals, the far right people. If they're for Trump, you know, it's like, okay, we can wrap this conversation up now and vaya con Dios.
I worry about the far right people and who's going to be left to date them. Oh, maybe then they won't be able to procreate.
I wouldn't worry too much about. I don't think you have to worry about them.
It just makes me wonder, like, what is happening with so many. But I mean, it's not just men there on the far right. I mean, if you even look at who voted for Trump, I gotta get the statistics in front of me. But more women actually. More white women did vote for Trump.
It was 52% of white women
voted
for Trump.
Thank you, producer Thomas, as I'm frantically looking for the number. And and for women that white women that did not have a college degree, even more of them voted for Trump. So there are women out there that are still available
on the Trump train.
On the Trump train are still available.
Come on, ride it. Woo, woo. The Trump train. I think to take another kind of what sounds like contrarian at first type view, but really isn't. I wonder if there is a good thing with all this awful stuff that Trump is doing, and that like the administration, not to get too political, is embroiled with this disaster of a president. And maybe the benefit is they're not really doing shit. They're not getting anything done. And that's kind of a good thing. Mm-hmm. If you're of our ilk, you don't want them getting legislation in, and you want them embroiled in these like crazy non-legislation oriented controversies.
Like the you mean like this weekend?
This week, yeah. The whole like Charlottesville stuff, like it's terrible.
I'd rather not deal with it.
It's awful.
But if this is what it takes to enact change.
It's like the only silver lining I can see is that like he's not pushing any legislation through while the whole country thinks he might be the new age Hitler.
Mm-hmm. But not the whole country, because there's that percentage.
His approval ratings at like 32%, yeah. Something like that?
The lowest in history. Yeah. So that's probably a good sign that
that's
most
still
of the country,
30. That's still 32% of people.
3 out of 10 people like him. That's weird.
And some of them are on eHarmony and looking for love. Well,
if you were single and you found out someone was Republican, not even for Trump, they were like wishy-washy on Trump, could you date them?
No, I mean that's one of the things on my deal breaker list. But you know what the eHarmony stats show is that there are more people also that are willing to forcefully declare that they're centrists.
Can you ask that on the first date? By the way, if it's such a deal breaker,
this is why one reason why I love dating sites, because you would know already before the date. And
let's say you were
hooked
up.
That's the problem with the apps, that you don't necessarily know all that.
Or you met on a coffee shop, at a coffee shop, and you go on the first date. On the first date, can you be like, by the way, what's your political affiliation?
I don't think you want to come out and say it just that direct.
I think people are asking that on the first date. I mean,
there's a more nuanced way to do it and just say like, oh, wow. Yeah, Charlottesville. That was a hot mess. What did you think about it?
Well, let's hear what the Nazis have to say. And
then
you're like,
check, please. That's how you know.
Yeah, how do you feel about racist, senile megalomaniacs?
I think in general, okay, this is like real dating advice right now. I think in general, first date conversation really should not feel like an interview. So you should not pose things as questions so much as think of it as a conversation. And how do you add on and move the conversation forward while gathering the information that you want to gather?
So you can kind of like circle near the concept, maybe try to get shades of their opinion, but you don't have to go directly with the Barbara Walters interview.
Exactly.
I like that.
All right. You get political... political information to fuel the fire and dating advice on Dates and Mates. We're going to take a quick little break, but when we come back, you know it, you love it, you can't live without it. We have Technically Dating and more Techspert questions from you to answer right after this, so stick around.
Let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? I bet you'd love more, right? Well, AdamandEve.com wants to give you more with 10 free gifts. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, a specially selected toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. So what do you have to do to get your 10 free gifts? It's not hard. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code GIFT18 at checkout and you'll get all 10 free gifts. Go check out adamandeve.com today. Select one item and get 10 free gifts, including free shipping. When you enter offer code GIFT18, that's GIFT18 at adamandeve.com.
Welcome back to Dates and Mates. Things got a little hot in the last segment. We got a little bit political. But we're going to neutralize things with answering your questions that you've posted on the Techspert app in today's Technically Dating.
Technically Dating.
Damona, we pulled out the lab coats and the microscopes and went researching for the best questions.
Did we? We're getting very intellectual in these, in our, what, five years on the air.
I concur. So... let's dive in. Okay. We have a question from a young lady, and she says, I met a guy last night through a mutual friend and ended up going home with him, but forgot to get his number. We just followed each other on Instagram, but he hasn't reached out yet. Should I message him first and say something, or do girls look super desperate when they do that?
I'm just going to assume when she says, ended up going home with him, that intercourse was involved in that going home. It wasn't just like, let's go
for the sake of the argument
and watch a movie. Okay. So what I'll say is that, yeah, girls do look super desperate when they do that. You already followed him on Instagram. Let's just assume she also was the first one to follow him on Instagram. Because I think if he hasn't sent a message, he didn't ask for her number, he basically is making no effort, and you already gave him the milk for free. So now he's going to have a cow running down the street after him, but he already got his glass of milk. I think you already played this scenario out, girlfriend, and unfortunately, I don't think there's much for you to gain in chasing him on Instagram, in real life, calling your friend and getting his number that way. I think you've already kind of put the cart before the horse, and unless you just want to be his F buddy, that's probably all he's going to think of you as.
That's pretty much the nail on the hitting the nail on the head.
We're all about the analogies today.
Although, just to play devil's advocate, there was a time a couple of years ago where I had a drunken soiree, and I woke up and she was gone, and I actually did kind of want to see her again. I wasn't going to marry her probably, but I did kind of want to see her again, and I had no way of finding her number. And I remember being mildly butthurt that she just up and ghosted me.
Maybe she didn't want to be found.
Okay, all right, touche. But I'm saying my point is that maybe he actually did want to get her number, but missed his chance.
But they're on Instagram now. He could very easily say, "Oh, I meant to get your number," or "I'd like to see you again," or anything that could indicate that this is going to be an ongoing thing. So I think you gotta chalk this up to one of those life experiences that teach you about what to do differently next time if you want to change the outcome.
Or maybe it was a pleasurable life experience and you should just be grateful for it.
Sure. Or if you want a different outcome, which it seems like I thought you were going to say something completely different when you were talking about the drunken hookup. I thought you were going to say that you didn't remember it. Because what if he didn't remember? And then this girl like follows him on Instagram and then he's like, "Oh, she's cute." And what if he just didn't remember the whole thing? She could just start clean, start fresh. So all of the advice I just gave is just under the expectation that you were not so drunk that you wouldn't remember it. But if there's a chance he might have been that drunk, then maybe you should send a message.
Touche. All right, we're coming in fast with this next one. Need help. Been dating this guy for 2 years and I met someone who's way better.
With three wives.
We're about to move in together, but I don't know if this is the right decision for me.
Well, I think if you are having second thoughts, regardless of whether or not you're going to be with this way better guy, I don't think you should move in with your boyfriend. If there's any doubt in your mind that this is headed towards the future, it's going to end up messy.
Really?
Yep. You got to give it more time.
Well,
to figure this out.
I've never moved in with a girl, and I've never been married.
Really?
So I'm wondering, like, when
I know you've never been married.
Well, I've been quasi moved in, but never officially together on a lease. So when you're going to move in with somebody, would you use you would say basically there should be no doubts. You should be like thrilled to move in.
Yes, basically. And this is kind of what I've been doing on A Question of Love for this entire season, because a lot of the people I come into that show after they've made the decision to move in together and to do this experiment on the show. But really, I have a list of criteria that I recommend for my clients before they move in with someone, that there are questions that you need to identify and you need to make sure that the relationship is on the same path, that it's not moving in out of convenience, that it's a path towards marriage, or that it is out of convenience and there are no expectations of it. But you have to be on the same page there before you move in together. But regardless, if you're having second thoughts about even being with your partner, moving in together is only going to make that decision process for you more complicated, because you're going to think, well, then I have to move all my stuff out and you'll have no privacy to be able to meet other people or explore these feelings that you're having. So I think it's not time to throw in the towel on your boyfriend and just say like, this is it. But I think you need to tell him, I need a little bit more time before we move in together. Because I'm still figuring some things out about me. Like, don't make it about him. I'm figuring some things out about me. And then if you really think this other guy is way better and you could see a future with this person in a way that you can't with your current boyfriend. And it's not just the butterflies of, and you know, the idea of being with someone different and someone new, then maybe it's time to take a little break.
So long story short, you're a big proponent of the Ish and Amanda approach of moving in 3 times in the first 10 months.
Completely. It works great. It works great every time.
I couldn't believe that scene where she was like 3 months late and thought she was pregnant.
Yeah, that was real. That's real.
Good God. Like, that's a thing? You can be 3 months late and actually not pregnant? I was like, for sure they're about to be having a baby.
Oh, yeah, you absolutely can. There are a lot of things, not to make this a show about menstruation. I feel like sometimes we get there and you guys roll your eyes. But, yeah, there's a lot of things that can affect your menstruation. The eclipse, for example.
By the way, Ish's family is just, oh, my God.
But that's a lot of people's families are, oh, my God.
That doesn't make it right. The whole, like, she will not, the mom won't meet her.
Yeah, but that's
like,
a cultural thing. That's a cultural thing. You know, so.
But that's
so
a bad cultural thing. That's like a Middle Ages relic. That's a bad cultural thing.
Not to be judgy or anything.
Oh,
but.
I'm judging. I'm judging hard.
What else is new in the Techspert vault?
Oh, man, I wanted to talk Question of Love. Jeez.
Really?
Sorry,
we can talk about it.
Had such seamless cross promotion going on. I was amazed at how smoothly that was integrated.
I know.
I know, but if people are not caught up, I don't want
to,
it's like spoiler. You're supposed to say spoiler alert first.
It's like 2 weeks behind now. You know what? I'm sorry if you haven't caught up. Get on your DVR, on your Apple TV, and catch up.
Okay, or you can go to FYI.tv and watch past episodes and read some of my dating advice every week. I post new tips on dating and relationships at FYI.tv. Look for A Question of Love. There you go.
Like,
how's that promo?
The one time when Amanda's Dragons came out and ate the people in Westeros, and then Ish was all mad and he had a magic. Yeah, no. Right, that didn't happen.
We're going to do a crossover episode with Game of Thrones.
By the way, I'm also like kind of, I think Game of Thrones has jumped the shark, but enough tangents for this one segment. All right, so this is from a young missus, and she says, a young miss.
Miss.
And she says, how do I get over the fear of my boyfriend having female friends? I know he loves me, but I can't help but think that he will get feelings for her and leave me. I'm afraid if I let him hang out with her and have fun with another girl that he won't want to be with me anymore.
You know what, Ray? I'm going to toss it right back to you because this is something we always disagree about. Like, can men and women be friends? Right? Right?
Okay. I didn't think you would take it there, actually. That's a fair point.
No, we've talked about that before.
Well, I was more thinking of, like,
friends with exes.
The jealousy issue.
Oh, okay. Let's hear what you got to say.
I think that jealousy is a terrible look. And you should want your lover to have freedom and the desire to have freedom and not a fake appearance of choice. Just like you were talking about with Emily and Andrew, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Shameless promotion.
I swear to you all, I'm not paying him for this.
I binged watched last night, so I'm like in the world. I'm like, I know this woman. I don't know.
Thank you.
Jealousy is a bad look. Let people hang out. Let them do what they want. In the same token, if there is a pattern of someone hanging out with people of the opposite sex, that's a problem. That is a big problem. Like, she has jealousy issues. It's almost the way she's structuring this. Like, I'm worried that he's going to leave me, and I'm afraid if he hangs out with her that he won't want to be with me anymore. Those are jealousy and internal issues that she needs to work on.
Mm-hmm.
She should have, like, almost an irrational confidence that I don't care who he hangs out with. He's going to want me. He's always going to come running back to me because I'm a bad bitch. But at the same token, if it's, like, an ex-girlfriend, That's a different. That's the topic I was thinking of. By the way, when you said that, is exes hanging out with exes,
yeah,
which I think is just a bad look. But yeah, if he's hanging out by himself with another girl, that's bad. And tell him to stop.
If he's hanging out with any girl by himself, that's bad.
Repeatedly.
Oh, repeatedly.
You can meet a girl at a bar and talk to her for a second. You're being social. You're being friendly. Or at a party. But if you're like planning hangouts and having multiple hangouts, that's a problem. And I would put my foot down if I was dating that guy or girl that was doing that.
Interesting. Because, I mean, I have a lot of female friends and I have a lot of male friends. But, I mean,
do you hang out with your male friends? Like, you get a dinner together or a lunch or a coffee?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I
and
do.
And you think they want to, if you're like, say his
I'm not like
Bobby. That's just hypothetical. If you said to Bobby, hey, Bobby, I'm trying to bone. Would he be like, okay, let's go?
Wait, what are you doing? Who's Bobby?
Just a fake friend, Bobby.
Oh, and you're okay. My friend, Bobby.
And you're getting coffee with him.
Why am I saying I'm trying
because
to bone?
Because the theory
no.
is that all guys, the guys have girls
that
are.
What's happening right now?
The guys that have friends that are girls are basically just waiting for that one opening where they can come in and smash.
I think people know by now. I've been with my husband 14 years. I think they know that that's not going to happen. But, you know, it's.
But do you think Bobby would take that opportunity? And be like, okay, let's hit
it. I don't know Bobby. I don't even know Bobby.
Because if the answer is yes, that's not really a friend. He's playing a long game that's weak and he's trying to hit it.
Okay. All right, Ray, you win. But what I will say is that when you have total trust in a relationship, that, like you said, it shouldn't be an issue. Like, my husband's on a deadline right now. He's been working like 24/7. And he said to me on Sunday night, he's like, I just want to let you know I'm going to be working all week. So if you want to make plans with your friends after the kids go to bed, you go ahead and do it because I don't want you to miss out on experiences because of me.
That's a good husband, right?
That's a good husband. And that's some. No, of course, I made no plans. I made one plan and it got
canceled.
So you
called up Bobby.
Bobby wasn't available. Yeah, and so I was like, well, what am I going to do now? I guess I'll call some girlfriends or something. No, I made one plan and she canceled on me. I didn't call any guy friends. I would say more lunches. You said lunches, coffees, like anything.
Okay. I guess
and
a lunch
I think
isn't
also, like, there's
as
a.
Bad.
Coming from the entertainment industry, there's a lot of. There's a lot of business personal overlap. So you can be friends with someone, but it's like, well, maybe we'll do a show together in the future or something.
We had
like
sex, but we might do a show
we
at some point.
We might do a show about it.
Well, like, what do you, like, what? Because where does the line cross to, like, Mike Pence not being allowed in a room with another woman unless his wife is there? It's like, you have lunch with people that aren't the girl you're dating, I'm assuming, right, Ray?
Not like, one-on-one
really?
Meals or like booze. I could certainly
yourself.
Be in a room. I could certainly be in a party. I can certainly be in. I can be in a room with me and 15 girls. In fact, I would love that. But no, I actually whatever. But I wouldn't go on one-on-one repeated hangouts. That's where I draw the line.
I get, yeah. I mean, it's like your friends in town that you haven't seen in a year. That's a girl, and you're like, you wouldn't say like, hey, let's grab lunch. Like, I feel like that's normal.
I don't know if it's healthy. I don't have
really?
Any friends, right. any yeah. girls yeah. that are like remote that would come and get a lunch. And if so, I'd okay, fine. Old high school friends
okay.
or something,
yeah.
you can get a lunch. But if there's like the pattern of repeated
yeah,
hangouts.
Yeah, I guess repeated it makes it weird.
That's
yeah.
the thing, the repeated hangouts.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, this is all very interesting. Obviously, we have different opinions here. I'd love to know what you all think at home. You can tweet me. What's your opinion on the hangout friend lunch, dinner.
Let's get Bobby on the show.
Let's get Bobby on the show. Tweet me at Damona Hoffman. Let me know your thoughts on this topic. But let's go on because there are more people that need our help.
We got a question from a young lassie, and she says, why do girls hardcore
guys
flirt? Sorry. Why do guys hardcore flirt for a while and then ghost and then all of a sudden flirt again?
I guess they're love bombing, right? But then in this case, she's saying, and then flirt again, because you're on the bench, as Ray would say. He's keeping you with just enough rope to make you crazy. And if you allow that kind of behavior, then you're going to stay on the bench. You know, you'll stay in rotation. But what do you think he's doing all that time while he's ghosting you, honey? He's not knitting. He's not going sailing with his girl, with his female friends. He's going on dates with other girls, obviously. So if that's okay with you and you want to allow that, then it's fine. But I think if this is happening to you time and time again, this is showing me that your behavior is allowing this to happen. And you're not setting a firm enough boundary with a guy if you expect to be treated in a different way.
Yeah. I almost look at it as like you have three levels of interest. Very simple, very almost binary. but it's a low level interest, medium level, or high level. And if I meet you and I'm like very unattracted, not interested at all, low level. I'm not going to get your number. I'm not going to do anything with you. If I'm high level, I'm like, I'm coming hard in the paint. I want to get a date. I want to move in. I want to get married. I'm doing all this stuff. And that's when you never get this like wavy ups and downs, because there's a high level of interest and you should spend your time with only people that have high interest in you. But there is that medium level of interest where guys will be like, I wouldn't mind hitting it, but I don't really want to wife it up. So I'll hit her up every once in a while because I do have some medium interest, moderately attracted. And this guy has medium interest.
But it seems like there's a lot of guys that have medium interest. Yeah. So you need to examine why that is. I just want to say one quick thing about online dating. I have online dating in the brain today. And people are always saying that now, because of dating apps, there's this FOMO and everybody is like, everyone has a hard time connecting with one person because they're like, oh, there are these other people that I could be with. And so I won't commit to you because I can just go back into the pool. And I just have not found that to be true when someone has high interest, right?
True.
If you make a connection with someone and you see someone as like, this is on a different plane, that doesn't happen. And I don't think dating apps are causing society to crumble because there are other options. There's always been other options. And just because they're available at the swipe of a thumb as opposed to at the next bar stool doesn't mean that if you make a connection with someone that they're going to ghost you and go away and then start flirting again.
Yeah. And for those that are in relationships thinking, oh, I missed the Tinder age and the grass is greener over there. It's not greener. It is dog pee stained and brown and not watered. The online app experience is, there's some patches of green grass, but there's also a lot of not so healthy looking brown, terrible grass.
Was that directed at me?
No, I'm just saying okay. The online dating scene is a little bit hurting.
I did kind of miss Tinder.
You did miss it. You didn't really miss much. Especially as a girl. As a guy, I get it. The concept of like, oh, a swipe and I'm banging that night. That sounds pretty intriguing. But for a girl, that's not what you want, right?
No, but I mean, it was largely similar for me with online dating. Because I was...
Just swiped and banged?
Swiped and banged. No, I didn't swipe and bang, no. But I was going out on dates like at least twice a week.
Damn,
and
girl.
I was a busy lady. But, you know, you find your medium.
Well, speaking of busy ladies, this girl says, I truly can't understand how all of my exes, including my sorry-ass ex-husband, I love when people call other people just sorry-ass. Sorry-ass. Technician. And how all my exes, including my sorry ass ex-husband, who all have done me wrong, is remarried and they're all in other relationships. I've been single for a while now. While they cheated, lied, plotted, hurt, and abused me emotionally and so much more. And I'm the one that's lonely every day. I stayed faithful and honest, but I'm the single one. And that makes no sense to me. What to do?
And she also mentioned dating sites, no good at all.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, honey. Maybe it's a little bit of that attitude that men are finding a little off-putting. A
lot of anger there.
There's a lot of anger.
Frustration.
And I think she hasn't... Oh, she's in Puerto Rico. She hasn't really dealt with her feelings towards her exes. And so if you think of this as on the continuum of relationships, you are dragging a lot of baggage along from one relationship to the next. If you haven't dealt with your feelings and you're carrying this much anger with you, and the men that you meet on those dating sites are sure as hell going to be able to feel that vitriol that you have towards men, towards these men, but you know, it spills over into towards men, because you're going to approach each date like, I'm not going to be able to trust this guy because look at what happened to me in the past. So you need to do a little self-work on clearing that. And after you do all that and you online date the proper way, if you're unsure of what the proper way is, you can go to DamonaHoffman.com to find out. But if you've really done your self-work and you're online dating the proper way and you still have that experience, then maybe there's something else to look at. But I think that this is actually what is at the core of this question.
That's true. There's a lot of fixing of herself that needs to be done. I've got a PSA for the women out there, and I think it needs to be said. It hasn't been said from a lot of sources that I've seen.
All right, Tua writes a camera here.
Women, being faithful, being honest, and being in love with a guy, that's not enough. That's just not enough to make a relationship work. So stop feeling like you were wrong. And I was faithful and I was loving and I was honest. I'm sorry, that's not enough.
Well, what do you want from us, men?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
I guess we're sneaking in a Ray's rant in this episode.
He didn't even know it.
But... it's going to be weird without the timer ticking. So that's just the baseline. And I'm so sick of these women that think it's going to be this fairy tale. Oh, I was in love and I'm honest and I'm faithful and I have a good heart. That's not enough. Are you bringing value? Do you have swag? Are you not jealous? Are you confident in yourself? Are you doing you? Do you not need that, man? Because you got so much stuff going on in your life. You got a passion or something you love. That's the kind of stuff that you also need if you want a relationship to work. It's not just, oh, it's honest. I didn't cheat on him. That's not enough. That's the baseline.
I agree with you. And there's clearly something in each of these relationships that went wrong, obviously, or she would not be single. She would still be with one of them. So I do think there's value in also examining your past relationships and say, like, how did that play out? And what decisions did I make that caused that outcome to occur? It's easy to say it, but not a lot of people do it. But it's really helpful when you do. And you don't necessarily have to do this with a therapist. You can even start journaling yourself and just start to examine some of those trends in your life and look at the source of where they're coming from and see if there is something that you can do to shift it.
I love that idea. Like journaling? maybe go back on your last two or three or four relationships, dalliances, whatever, and just talk about what happened. And how it happened. And maybe you can start to see trends that way. But like writing it down, there's something cathartic and also about it that makes it easier to identify patterns. So I love that idea.
And I used to journal all the time. Since having two kids, I haven't had much journaling time. Because every morning I wake up like this. Ah! What time is it? What are we doing? What are we doing? Lunches. Swim bag, everything. What's your after school? That's how I wake up. I used to wake up like, you know, Snow White, like, and I'm writing in my journal. But I sometimes go back and look at my old journals. Some people say, don't do it, do that, don't do it, do it. But I like to do that to just get some distance from some of these situations that seemed so dire in the moment and so overwhelming. And then when you take a step back from them, you're like, that was nothing. That was nothing. Hmm. Or this is what I learned from that. Or look how much I've grown from that. And so it's good to just have a record of what you were feeling at that time. So you can look at the progress that you made. It's easy to get overwhelmed when you're stuck in that place and think nothing ever gets better, nothing has ever changed. But if you really look back at how far you've come from those relationships, you might feel a little bit better about yourself as well.
I think,
worse, one or the other, or neutral.
And the added benefit is like our memories actually fade over time, and you forget things, and it's kind of fun as like a record every once in a while. Just go back and read, you remember some of the good times because you forget stuff. Our brain erases some memories.
Exactly. Exactly. What about erasing on this next question? This is a good segue. Erasing the past.
She says, should I ask my boyfriend to remove his ex's pictures on his social media?
I love this question because it's really tricky. And I think with the long history now of social media, there are going to be a lot of stories in there of your past that I think would be really hard to negate. And I think that's also, it's a part of your history. So I mean, I think if he's posting current pictures like TBT, TBT, when me and my ex went to Cancun,
better times. It's like,
back to the good old days. Yeah.
That would be problematic. But I just don't think you can ask someone to erase their entire past and digital presence. That was a part of their life, and he's with you now, and deal with it.
You're right. This one is a very divisive one. It's almost like Facebook, like albums, you can like hide them so they're not public and you can keep them there. But most people now just post on Instagram, at least the millennials and the Gen Zers like my buddy Tom.
I don't have an Instagram, actually.
Oh, you're so contrarian.
I'm a Twitter man.
A tweeter? Okay.
He's so modern.
And I'm with you on that. It's like, well, those are memories. And I post on Instagram once every like quarter. And it's... If I post pictures with who I happen to be dating at that time, and then 3 years later I'm not, like, that's still the memory I had. I'd like to kind of look back on that. But if my current says, you know what, I'd prefer you pull those, I think you do. I think, but you have to be the squeaky wheel.
It would just take so much time. Like, the number of photos that I have on Facebook, I mean, it would just... Like, if somebody was like, erase your kids from social media.
Right.
We'd be here forever. I've got time for that.
Pulling like
Wouldn't
an
you
eternal...
rather that they put that time into being with you than going back through their... You want them looking at all those photos and it's just...
I guess it depends on the magnitude of the relationship. I can understand the concept of the whole Jim Carrey, eternal sunshine of the spotless mind. Like, erase it. I don't want to see your ex-boyfriend in your Instagram from like a month ago. But if it's like a marriage and you had kids together, it's like, leave that person alone. Let them have a few pictures from their past. That's okay.
It's okay. Okay. I'm glad we agree on that. You know, this is an auspicious time, Ray. And so I wanted to look a little bit into the future with the solar eclipse that's coming up. And it's the only solar eclipse since 1776 that's been visible across the entire continental United States. Mm. So this is pretty spectacular, pretty auspicious, but it could have some repercussions on your dating life. So let's roll it back.
The Romance Rollback.
Eclipses have been around since the dawn of time. Can you imagine what an eclipse looked like to people that didn't understand, that thought the earth was flat? And then they were like, what is happening right now? The sun is being eaten. Oh,
we're
no, it's over.
Die.
It's okay.
Yeah.
for like a minute and a half, people really thought the world was over. But then they realized it didn't end. But they had to make sense of what was happening. And so back in the day, the ancient Hindus came up with some ideas about what that meant. And actually, this is kind of throughout many cultures, Native Americans, and I also found similar beliefs in Mexican culture. And the idea is that the sun being blocked is basically, the sun is our energy source. And so if it is being blocked by the moon, or if it's being eaten by an evil sun god, or something like that, then that is our life force energy being depleted and being overtaken by negative energies, or dark, impure, chaotic energy. And so back in the day, they used to recommend that during an eclipse to not take that negative energy and bring it into the world and the earth plane. You were recommended not to have sex, because any baby that was conceived under the eclipse could be of evil origin. And pregnant women it was recommended that they did not go out in the sun or look at the eclipse, because if so, your baby could develop deformities or like be the spawn of the devil, basically.
Aren't religions delightful?
And we didn't have as much science as we do now. We told stories.
Not that we're making much use of it with the current administration, but anyway.
Not to get political. Yeah. But we had to make up some stories to make things make sense to us, right?
Well, I guess my question about that, fascinating story. My question is, if there's dark energy when the sun's blocked, then isn't there dark energy every time it's just nighttime? Because the sun's technically blocked then, Mr. Hindu expert.
Oh, really deep, deep and scientific.
Like just taking one step further.
You're just...
There's some holes in this ancient
You're too brilliant religious for structure. Ancient Hindu philosophy.
So don't have the sexy time during the eclipse. It's a long eclipse too, right?
It's only like 2 minutes.
Oh, that's it.
That it'll be fully blocked. But it's moving across the entire United States.
I'm sure it meant more of like a longer duration of like they probably had some way of charting like what the eclipse period was. Mm. Just is what I would assume. I don't know.
True enough. But some people are actually using the eclipse for different nefarious reasons. I found this article. This is not a romance rollback. This is actually like currently happening. This guy posted on Craigslist that he wants to find a woman who will conceive a child with him during the eclipse. And he's like posted where? In Concord, Pleasant Hill, or Martinez. And like, I just have to read you this. I'm going to leave you this. He says he's 40 years of age, Caucasian male from Europe. His looks, instincts, knowledge, and strength is 100% pure and 100% lethal. He's looking for a worthy female with strong genes, beauty, and smarts. And they haven't found the exact place to have sex, but if we have chemistry, I would like for us to make love while the eclipse is happening. And he says, we will make love together with me and my penis directed towards the sun. Everything will be aligned, and both of our cosmic orgasmic energy will be aligned with the planets. And basically, he thinks that they're going to conceive like a solar eclipse super child.
I'm real very people. Aroused.
Well, if you go to Craigslist, you could hook it up. Mm. No, you are not a worthy female with strong genes and beautiful smarts. But a lot of weird stuff's going to be going down this Monday. So stay safe and keep it weird. Wait, isn't that Portland? Yeah. Keep Portland weird, because I know everyone's going up there from California.
I think Austin came up with that phrase first.
I don't know.
Portland jacked it.
They're both pretty weird. But, true. You know. We're all a little bit weird. I'm actually doing a talk at the Podcast Movement Conference on Tuesday about what makes you weird can make you money. So while we're keeping it weird, we're also keeping you entertained. Don't forget to check us out on social media. I'm on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at Damona Hoffman. Ray is on Instagram at RayChristian_LA. A Question of Love has now moved to Sunday, so you can still catch me there on FYI every Sunday, or... like Ray said, catch up on FYI.TV or Apple TV or Roku or wherever you listen, you watch your shows. And this show is available on iTunes, on iHeartRadio, on Stitcher, Spreaker. So wherever you listen, make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, and tell a friend. We will be back next week with Dr. Pepper Schwartz from Married at First Sight. She's going to be talking about Romance Awareness Month this August, here for you. Until then, happy dating.